This morning we are going to take, I think, just a one-week detour away from the letter of Romans, which we've been going through, partly, frankly, because our lectionary doesn't give us a lot to go on, and it gets kind of complex after that. So we're going to look at the gospel this morning, which has really some of the same themes as our reading from Romans. Our gospel starts out with, "Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there." The beheading, the death of John the Baptist, really affected Jesus. And we aren't told exactly why. It might be that it's because John the Baptist and Jesus, they were kind of linked in ministry. John the Baptist is the one, the last prophet and the greatest of the prophets who came and told the people that Jesus was coming. And so maybe Jesus saw in John's death a foretelling of his own death. Maybe things became just a little bit more real at that point. Or maybe it's because their mothers were related, and so John and Jesus were related, and maybe they grew up playing together, I don't know. Whatever it is, John's death really touched Jesus. It affected him. And so Jesus, busy in ministry, decides it's time to take just a little bit of a break. And so he and the disciples get on the boat, and they cross the lake, the sea, just to get away. He goes to a deserted place. He goes into the wilderness to get away from the crowds just a little bit. But the crowd is full of desperate, full of sick people. They are needy people, and they need Jesus. And so even though Jesus escapes by boat, the crowd follows him on foot. They walk around the long way just to get to where Christ is. Now, where you and I might get frustrated by the invasion of our privacy, especially during a time of grief and mourning, Jesus looks upon this great crowd and he feels something deep within him. And it's hard to overstate how the gospel says this with compassion. He feels it deep in his soul, deep in his body, as he looks at this crowd and as he looks at them, and he's stirred. He's moved by what he sees. He sees the hungry, he sees the weak, the poor. He sees blind people. He sees people who are struggling with disease and sickness. They're the destitute. They're desperate. They have physical needs, but he also sees in them spiritual needs. These people are lost and they're searching. They walk the long way around just to get to Jesus. They're cast out from society. And they are many. So Jesus sees them and he is moved to compassion. And he gets to work. Despite his own grief and his own sorrows, he gets to work healing the sick. Now, after a full day of healing and seeing to the needs of these people, the disciples get a little tired. Maybe they get a little bit hungry. You know, they've been kind of the nurses of the day. They've been ushering the people into the waiting room. They've been taking paper and they've been filing things. They've been taking blood pressures and that kind of stuff, you know, deciding who needs to see Jesus next, dealing with all sorts of questions that they can't answer and questions that they shouldn't have to answer. And they're tired. It's getting late. And so they go to Jesus and they tell him, "Hey, this is the wilderness. This is a deserted place. There's no facilities here. You can smell the people. It's getting late. Send the people away." It's a directive. It's a command to Jesus. Send the people away. Maybe they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Now, at first glance, their request seems kind of reasonable, doesn't it? But really, it's veiled compassion. We all live in a small town. We all know that when it's getting late and the sun's going down, how difficult it might be to go into town and find some food, find a place to eat, find even the grocery store. You know, things close early in small towns. We find out later that this is a crowd that is pretty vast. It's 5,000 men plus women and children. So how big is this crowd? 7,500? 10,000? Imagine 10,000 people being dismissed at night at some kind of festival, and they're hungry, and they all come into Linton at once. Are they going to find food? Are they going to find facilities? How many are going to be housed in hotels? And imagine all those 10,000 people are sick and poor. It's not a very compassionate response or command that the disciples give to Jesus. The wilderness is not a place that these people can emerge from. And it's a lot of people. And they are sick. And even though Jesus has been healing people all day, he hasn't seen them all. So Christ challenges his disciples. He challenges them on this command that they give him because he knows and he sees what the disciples, what you and I often miss and can't see. That these people have more than just a physical need, though they have that and that's very important and Jesus sees to that. They also have a spiritual need. And he knows that these people are exactly where they need to be, in the presence of Christ. So he challenges the disciples. The people don't need to go away. You, and Jesus is emphatic here, he says, you give them something to eat. The disciples look at what they have. And then they look at Jesus and reply, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. How are they supposed to feed 5,000 plus people with such meager portions? The reality is, too, that these 5 loaves and 2 fish were probably the very meal that they were looking forward to having themselves, which even then isn't much to feed 12 people. Sounds like they weren't fishing with Keith, they were fishing with Elwin instead, and you know, only came up with 2 fish. They weren't exactly getting all they needed there. It's a meager meal. And the disciples are forced to look at themselves and realize we lack something. And it's more than resources that they lack. They lack ability on their own to serve these people. And probably what's worse is they lack the compassion to see them as Jesus sees them. And so once again in the disciples we see men who struggle just as you and I do to see people as Jesus sees them, to have compassion as Christ has compassion, to serve others as Christ serves others, to even have faith as Christ has faith. This is our struggle, isn't it? To be compassionate, to think in the same way that Jesus does? How deep is our compassion at times? When we're talking to friends who are in need, does our compassion drive us to pray for them, or do we simply forget? Each Sunday, when you look at the bulletin and you see the people that are on there listed as the sick or the shut-ins, does your compassion drive you to go visit them, to pray for them on your own at home, to write them a note, to let them know that the church is there? we so much lack compassion. And we lack ability. And maybe the two go hand in hand. So Christ's command to the disciples shows them exactly what they're missing. And it shows them exactly what they need. That they, like you and I, also need Jesus. Because Jesus lacks nothing. He is, as our psalm talks about, He is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. There's no limit, no lack in His love for His people, for their physical needs, for their spiritual needs. And even in His time of grief and sorrow, He can't help but see to those needs. He sees to the crowd's needs and the needs of the disciples. And so he takes the bread, He takes the fish, He looks up to heaven, He blesses it, He breaks it, and then He gives it to the disciples for the disciples to distribute His miracle. It's a key thing in there that I think we often overlook. Jesus doesn't take the bread and just go and distribute it Himself. He gives it to His disciples. And as they pass it around the crowd, the miracle happens. Jesus enables them to do the very thing He commanded them to do. You give them something to eat, I will do it for you, and then you will deliver it. Jesus fulfills the very command He gave them. And eat the people do. Matthew is explicit about this. All the people, whether it's 5,000, 10,000, whatever, they all eat and they are satisfied. And it's a satisfied that is that kind of Thanksgiving meal, loosen the belt, sit down and watch football till you pass out kind of satisfied. It's a good, full satisfied. These people have eaten. And just to kind of show the disciples just how much Jesus can do, there are 12 baskets of bread left over, one for each disciple to carry and collect. So what do we take away from this passage? The first and foremost is that Jesus has compassion, that He is compassionate, and that He is compassionate with His power. He sees to the needs of people, physical and spiritual. When we thirst, He thirsts. When we hunger, He hungers. When we hurt, Jesus hurts, because He is compassionate. This is why He has sent His Spirit to pray for us, even in our weaknesses, as we heard from Romans last week. Second, we learn that the Lord wants to bring His compassion to His people, and He does so through those who follow Him. The miracle happens while the disciples distribute what Jesus has given them. The Lord has blessed you and I, and the Lord wants to do a great work in this world, and He wants to do it through His people. You know, the Lord doesn't need your good works. Your good works do nothing in terms of your salvation to the Lord, but what the world needs is your good works. The Lord doesn't need them. Your neighbors do. And through our good works, our deeds, our giving, our generosity, with the things that God has given us, people then look to glorify the Father through our good works. Lastly, in this we see Jesus kind of pointing towards the future, towards that great and glorious day that's described for us in throughout the Gospels and Revelation, that final day, that day that we are all up with the Lord in heaven and we are feasting in paradise with Him. And there is no longer any need. There is no longer any sickness. There is no longer any tears. And there's certainly no longer any hunger, because we are satisfied with the Lord. And in this, too, we also see an allusion towards Holy Communion, whereby Christ's body and blood, we have before us that very thing we need most, the presence of Jesus, and His forgiveness for our sins. As we wait then for that glorious day when we feast in paradise with Him, let's pray. O gracious, merciful Father, we give You thanks for Your compassion, the compassion of Christ. Help us, O Lord, in our lack of compassion. Give us eyes like You do for the poor, the weak, the hungry, those who need You, those who lack physically and those who lack spiritually. Give us also compassion. Give us faith that You will provide for us in those things that we lack, that we might go into this world and provide for those who have so little. We pray this in Your name. Amen.